you are challenging your thoughts? How many of you are challenging your feelings? How many of you don't know what you're doing today? All right. Well, hey, listen, we're going to continue in this series, and we're going to be talking about our thought life and our feelings and all that, and I just want to keep plowing this up. Remember last week, whenever I stopped, I wasn't finished. I just had to stop, you know? So this week we're going to continue on it. So I want to anchor it to this verse right here because I believe it with all my heart. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in how many? Some things? No, come on. All things. I pray that you may prosper in all things. Absolutely. And be in health. Do you know it is God's will for you to prosper and to be in health? Yeah? I know sometimes people say, well, that's just the prosperity gospel. No, that is the gospel. That is God's will for your life. That is what the Bible says. I didn't make it up. It's what it says. I pray that you may prosper, that you may be in health. Now get this second part. Just as your soul prospers. In other words, let me say it this way. You can't prosper if your soul isn't prospering. Your soul is the goal. And your soul must be whole for you to reach the goal. And there's a lot of corny things I could say along with that, but we'll stop right there. Here's the truth. Your soul is the goal. The goal is to renew your mind and that your soul could be whole. And when your soul is whole, then you reach the goals in your life. And actually, you live the life that God has for you. Here's the truth, though. If your soul is broken, and your soul is broken into pieces, then guess what? It becomes very difficult to be in health, and it becomes very hard to prosper. Because the truth of the matter is, prosperity is a fruit of the soul, what happens on the inside of you. How many of y'all would agree with that? Absolutely. So we've been talking about it for sure, and we talked about the soul. The soul is the mind, the what? The will and the what? And emotions. The mind, the will, and emotions. And how the mind, will, and emotions need to be whole for you to prosper in life, for you to be whole. The whole battle is in the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. And when those things operate, man, I'm telling you, you can live and see all that God is doing in your life. And we really hit last week, and we're going to continue on the path of talking about emotions. How many of you know emotions? How many of you have emotions? How many of you know your emotions? How many of you feel emotions right now? Like, man, this is getting on my nerves. Hey, listen, emotions can be good or bad. It can be good or bad. You know, a lot of times in our life, we think about emotions. I know I think about right now, my house has a lot of emotions going on because my daughter's getting married in 2 weeks. So how many of you know there's a lot of emotions going on? How many of you know any house with two women has a lot of emotions already? Yeah. And I tell you what, it is a lot of emotional thought going into it and all that stuff. And I was thinking about it this week. How many of you know that, you know, how many of you remember, well, I'm going to age myself. I remember whenever I used to call my girlfriend or my girlfriend used to call me, I remember waiting on the phone to ring. Now, I don't know, you know, most of you probably grew up like I did, that whenever you talked about the phone ringing, it wasn't your phone. It was the phone. And see, some of the young people in our room are like, what do you mean the phone versus, see, listen, not everybody, we didn't have cell phones when I was a kid. We had phones connected to cords that only one person could talk on it, right? And then there was a person on the other end. And it would oftentimes go like this, you know, hey, what are you doing? Nothing. What are you doing? Nothing. Come on, am I right? Yeah, come on, we all been there. And listen, that's how all that stuff started and everything. But how many of you know there was an emotion connected to it? It's like, you know, the phone rings. Ooh, is it for me? No, it's not for me. I know in our house, when my sister and I, it was like, hey, I remember when call waiting came out. I'm like, make sure you answer my beep. There was a strong emotion connected to that. Right? I was thinking about it in my house this week. I was like, would there even be weddings if there wasn't emotions? I'll speak for every guy. No. No, absolutely not. Emotions play a big role in our life. A huge role in our life. I mean, I was saying, just the other day, I took out my Roadster. I was driving, man, it was a beautiful day. I was driving my Roadster down the road. I had headphones in, man, I was jamming out. I was driving the Roadster. It was awesome. This week, same headphones, I'm sitting in my office. Whitney's dog is in the office with me, and I'm not paying attention. I'm studying. I'm working on my message and all that. I turn around. I have Bose headphones, and they wrap up in your ear. They cancel all the noise out, which is cool when you're in a car, you know? So I'm sitting there typing on my message. I look around, and the dog had chewed up my headphones. Can I tell you, I had a different emotion. I went from the Roadster to this. I had a different emotion. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Listen, this week, oh no, it gets better. This is my therapy time. Is that all right? It's therapy time talking about my emotions. Oh, because it gets worse. I got new shoes on today. And the reason I have new shoes on today, first of all, anytime I hate buying new shoes. First of all, tennis shoes, I love buying new shoes. All right? But dress shoes, I hate buying them. Here's why. Last time I bought a brand new set of dress shoes, some of you were probably here. Dress shoes, when you buy them, they're slick on the bottom. How many of y'all know that? All right? I walked the whole morning on this edge. Last time I bought a brand new set of dress shoes, all right, I slipped and fell and ate the dirt right there. Everybody thought it was funny. All right? So this last night and this morning, I've been outside in between services scraping my shoes to get the slick stuff off so that I'm solid. And you say, well, Pastor Charlie, what's that got to do with emotions? Let me tell you why. The reason I had to go buy brand new dress shoes is because that same dog that chewed up my headphones chewed up my shoes this week. It's an emotional time. I asked Whitney, I said, when are you and the dog leaving? And I don't even know, there was an emotion connected to that, right? Absolutely. Emotions play a big role in our life. And here's the deal. Most of the time as Christians, we are told we have to control our mind. But can I tell you, just as much as you need to control your mind, you have to control your emotions, right? Right? You have to control your emotions. Because in my office is my gun cabinet. Can I get a witness in the house of God? Oh, and bullets are cheap, baby. Bullets are cheap. But anyway, we'll stop right there. Check this out. And I would never, and if you know me, you know this. I love animals. Even deer hunting. I kill deer, but I don't really like killing things, so I would never hurt the dog. Although I thought about choking him with that cord of what he chewed up. But anyway, actually, I thought about plugging in a cord and saying, chew on that. See, then it's self-inflicted. What happened? I don't know. It reminds me of Chevy Chase. Come on, Christmas. Yeah, now, you guys aren't responding. Who doesn't watch Chevy Chase Christmas? You need prayer. Who watches Chevy Chase Christmas? That's what I'm doing. You my peeps. You know, I love y'all. I love that. Michelle, listen, I need to get on my message, but here's the deal. I don't watch it all year until around Christmas. And every year I'm on the floor rolling, man. And Michelle's like over there in the other seat going, you've seen it like 50 times. I know, but isn't it funny? Isn't it funny? She don't get it. Anyway, check it out. Your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. I love this. This is what the Bible says, Isaiah 55:8. Notice this. In context, this is not talking to believers. This is God speaking to wicked people. Okay? How many of you know, if you're a child of God, you're not wicked. Right? So this is not you. This is just in general. My principle about this verse is deeper than that. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. Okay? Now, I want you to notice the pattern. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my what? Ways. Notice, which one came first? thoughts. Your thoughts lead to your ways. What you think about ultimately leads you in the direction that you're going to go in this life. And how many of you know, if you allow your thoughts to go, you're going to go off the rails a lot of times. Absolutely. Check this out. Got another little thought here. A thought connected to an emotion will ultimately lead you in a direction in your life. This is where I left off last week. I talked about a thought connected to an emotion leads you in a direction. Listen to it. A thought connected to an emotion leads you in a direction. A thought in and of itself doesn't mean anything. I mean, I think I speak for dudes. In here's walked by and seen a lady and go, oh, she's pretty, and just keep on walking on. I'm sure there's been women that walk by a dude and say, oh, he's a good looking dude, but you just keep walking on, right? Had to put a feeler out there. you see somebody and you know, oh, that's good looking. It isn't the thought, because the thought doesn't lead anywhere. It's the thought when you connect it or unite it to an emotion. Once you start attaching emotions to those thoughts, then they become powerful in your life. And when you get a thought connected to an emotion, now you have a direction. Dog eating my shoes. It was a direction I was headed with that. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It actually happened even this week. We were in Carson's getting me some new shoes, and we're walking through the mall. And we're walking, and I smell Ben's pretzels. See, immediately you just had an emotion. You had a thought. It wasn't the thought. It was the thought that led to an emotion. Man, I'd like to have a Ben's pretzels. That tastes really good right now. So we went, Michelle and I got Ben's pretzels, and then we're sitting there, and then we're leaving there, headed back towards Carson's, and there is Blondie's cookies. Michelle didn't have the same emotion. She didn't have the same thought, because my thought was, we had pretzels, let's have cookies. Michelle's like, we do not need cookies now after we had pretzels. I'm like, wow, we should have started with cookies first then. But my point is this, it's not the thought. A thought, you can walk by Ben's pretzels every day, but it's when it connects to you in an emotional way that it actually has power. Now, we're using Ben's pretzels, but how many of you know it's different in life when you start connecting things to that? Y'all hear what I'm saying? Why is it that you think that used car salesmen or car salesmen in general, they want you to drive the car? Come on, why don't you take a test drive? Why do you think that is? They want you to get emotional to it. They want you to attach yourself to it emotionally, right? Why is it that whenever Michael was spray painting his models on the fenders of my boat, there was an emotional connection there? How many of you know I about had a fit? Right? Come on, why is that? Why is it? It's because it's an emotional thing to you. Come on, am I right? It's the emotion. It's not the thought. It's the emotion that is connected to it that actually drives you in a direction. So last week I challenged you, and I continue to challenge you, that if your thoughts and your thought life and your feelings, if they line up, it's ultimately moving you in a direction. So you need to ask yourself, what are my thoughts and what are my feelings? I bet most believers do not sit around each day and go, man, what do I feel? Or why do I feel? And here's my point. I think as a believer, you should ask yourself, why do I feel that way? Why do I feel they betrayed me? Why do I feel that they're loyal to me? Why do I feel this way? All right? Or why am I thinking thus and so? Because at the bottom line, when you start asking yourself, I believe the Lord will give you answers to that. And it'll start allowing you to make sense of why you feel the way you feel. Amen? And you'll find out sometimes it's not justified. It's just how you feel. So now, how do we begin to harness our thoughts and our emotions? How do we harness them? How do we bring them under control? How do we gather them and make sense of them? Well, I'm going to give you some ways, and I believe this first one is the key. And honestly, most of my message will be spent right here on my first point of what I want to say. Number one, you need to know this. It is a choice. Everybody say, it's a choice. It's a choice. We live in such a culture that is so victimized that people don't even acknowledge that they have a choice anymore. But I'm here to tell you, you do have a choice. You do have a choice. Now watch this. Let me clarify what I mean by having a choice. What I keep thinking about and what I keep feeling is a choice. Here's the deal. You can't control every thought that comes into your mind. How many of y'all know that? You can have a thought. I mean, you know, something happens, somebody pulls out in front of you, and you think, I'd like to kill that guy. It's just a thought, okay? Or you have a feeling. You know, maybe something happened in your childhood, and then you find out that that thing, that thought, that feeling revisits you as an adult, and you have this feeling. Okay, now listen, it isn't the feeling that's going to do damage, and it isn't the thought that's going to do damage. It's when, get this, it's when you allow them to stay. Did y'all get that? So walking by somebody and say, oh, she's pretty, or walking by some dude, if you're a chick, walking by some dude and saying, he's good looking. I said, if you're a chick. That's right, I said that. I still believe in America. We'll stop right there. All right. But anyway, so it's not the thought. It's not the thought. It's just if you allow that thought to stay and you begin to take that thought and you begin to meditate on that, and that thought begins to grow on the inside of you, or that feeling begins to grow on the inside of you. And when those thoughts or those feelings begin to grow on the inside of you, come on, they take a life of their own. They will begin to take up residence inside of you, and they will rent space that you didn't have to give up. Am I right? For sure. See, what you keep thinking about and what you keep feeling is where the damage is at. That is a choice. It may not be a choice whether you have the thought. It may not be a choice of whether you have that feeling. But it is a choice whether it stays. You can have a choice in the fact that a thought will stay with you. You can choose not to think about that. Say, oh, Pastor Charlie, you can't tell me that. Oh, yes, you can. And I'll give you an example, and I've used this several thousand times probably. But check this out. You can control your thoughts. I'm going to give you one simple way. Everybody do exactly what I say. You ready? Get your wallets out. Just kidding. Just kidding. It was a joke. All right, get this. Do exactly what I say. Do exactly what I say. In your mind, right now, count from 1 to 20. Ready? Go. Say your name out loud. 3 people. Great. That's wonderful. All right, let's try it over again. No wonder I have to preach the same message over 4 times. But anyway, listen, that was a joke. Here's the deal. Listen to this. Do exactly what I say. Now you know the whole gimmick, so here it is. Count from 1 to 20 in your mind. Ready? Go. Say your name out loud. All right. Now, don't be a freak. But did you stop counting to say your name? Yes. There is one way that I've just showed you that you can control your thought life. Why? God did not wire you to be able to think one way and say something different. So for you to think something that's wrong or bad or destructive for your life, and you say, I don't know what to do with it, all you have to do is begin to speak something different, and your thoughts will move. It's like if you can imagine a train track, you're shifting the tracks. You're moving it in a different direction, and you're doing it by the mouth. The Bible says your mouth is like a rudder on a ship. Although it's so small, it'll drive you in any direction. And I'm here to tell you, you could have thoughts that are out there or even feelings that are out there. But if you'll learn to use your mouth to turn them away and move them off of you, you will find that you will be able to live free from those thoughts. You will. Say, man, I feel like somebody did me wrong. All right, let's say hypothetically, we're going to go in there. Someone rips you off. Someone rips you off. I know that's never happened to anybody in here. But say you feel like somebody ripped you off. You say, oh, well, they just ripped me off. Now you have a choice. You can allow that thought and that feeling to stay and rule over you, and you can become so victimized by that thought that you feel like everybody's out to get you and rip you off. Or you can take that thought and that feeling and say, you know what, Lord? They meant harm for me, but I know your word declares what they mean for harm, you will ultimately make for good. So I speak goodness over my life. And if a thief be found, he must pay sevenfold. So if they stole anything from me, I'm going to get sevenfold in return. And I believe you're going to increase me, Lord. And I choose to think about those things. I choose to feel those things. I choose to think about the blessing on the other side. I think about those things, Lord. And I'm not going to let that worry me. I'm not going to doubt that. I'm not going to fret that. I thank you that you're good to me, God. Y'all see how I did that? I had a thought, a feeling tied to it, anchored in me, but I refused to meditate on it. I refused to think about it. And what do you do, Pastor Charlie, if that thought comes back tomorrow? I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to put that thought off, and I'm going to put another one on me. I'm not going to allow that thought to rule my life. Come on, amen? That's how you do it. Don't allow the enemy to get and take up residence inside your heart and your feelings. He will absolutely destroy you. You can't do it that way. All right, so listen to this. So it is a choice. It is a choice. Your decisions are no better than your emotions. Believe that? You ever met people who make decisions when they're emotional? Oh my goodness, can I tell you? Don't do that. That is a bad idea. Bad idea. If you've got emotions rolling on, matter of fact, let me flip it around and use me as an example. I've actually made people upset not making a decision because I was emotionally attached to it. Made them upset. Aren't you going to decide? I'll decide when I feel like my emotions are not connected to it. A lot of times in counseling, I'll meet with someone, and what they'll tell me, if I talk about their problem, I can't get them to see the answer. But if I take the same scenario and put it somewhere else, not connected to their emotions, they'll see the answer plain as day. And then all I got to do is say, now transfer that to your life. How do you feel about that now? They're like, wow, it was there the whole time. Yep, it was there the whole time. Emotions will blind us from seeing things that are right in front of our face sometimes. Yes. Pastor John, I don't know what to do. What's that? Well, he beats me, he stones me, he doesn't work, he doesn't have a job, but he loves me. Here's what I would say. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? Let me put this in a different scenario. You have a daughter? Well, yes. Well, if your daughter came home and got slapped around and he didn't go to work and all that, why tell them to leave it? Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? That's kind of almost too close because there's a little bit of feelings connected to that. But listen to this. If you ever want to make good decisions, disconnect your feelings from it in a sense. Don't make emotional decisions. Don't make emotional decisions because they will put you in a train wreck and a tailspin every time. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Every time, for sure, for sure. Listen to this. I love this. This verse about Jesus, right before he goes to the cross. Here's what he said. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be what? Done. Now listen to this. Jesus is about to go to the cross, okay? He's about to die and suffer for the sins of the world. And do you believe that he had some emotional trauma at this point? Okay, some of you act like you're unsure. Okay, let's sign you up for that. How many of you know you're going to have some issues? You're going to have some trauma on the inside. You're going to have some emotional upheaval. And Jesus said, listen. I can't. That reminded me of that video. Listen, Linda, listen. he said, yeah, now I'm all distracted. Yet my will be yours be done. That's right. Okay, look at what Jesus had to do. Jesus did not even trust his emotions. He couldn't even trust his emotions. He said, Father, here, if not mine, your will be done. Hey, can I tell you the truth? Toph and I were talking between services or right before I came out here. We were talking about how that's really when your emotions change, when you submit them to God. If you really want to see your emotions change, submit them to the Lord. And the Lord will take care of them and he'll heal them. He'll minister to them, for sure. Because listen to this. Jesus said, Father, not mine, but your will be done. In other words, I'm not going to trust my emotions right now. I'm not going to trust what I feel because I don't feel like going to the cross. But I'm going to trust your will. How many of you didn't feel like coming to church today? See, oh, there's one, two, three honest people. All right, how many of you couldn't wait to get to church today? All right, that's good. How many of you didn't want to come to church today? And don't get me wrong, a little kid back there is getting beat by his parents now. Poor kid, I'm just kidding. Hey, listen, here's the truth with me this morning. I love to preach. I love to preach and teach, obviously. You know, we have four services. But I love to preach and teach, but I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to really get, let me tell you this, here's the deal. You got to know the backdrop of what I'm saying. Saturday nights are the hardest time for me to sleep. Hardest. I come to church Saturday afternoon. I get all wound up, man, preaching and like that, all this. And then I go home and it's like, you got to go to bed. Oh, it's terrible. So I sit there in bed and what I do is I run through my message 50,000 times. What should I have said there? I could have did this different. I could have did that. I could have done this, done this, done that, done this, done this. Do you see what I'm saying? And the truth of the matter is I get all wound up and I can't even go to sleep. So I end up going to bed around 1 o'clock probably. And then I get up. So today I get up, the alarm goes off 7 o'clock and it's dark. Who turned off the sun? I'm like, the alarm clock must be broke. I mean, what is the deal? It's dark at 7. And I don't know where you're from, but where I'm from, if it's dark, we should be asleep. Amen. So I'm like, oh man, are you serious? And then immediately, this is the world that I live in. I have to take the dogs out in the dark, in a robe, in boxers. It's a beautiful thing. It's just the world that I live in the dark. A little irritated by it all. Y'all get what I'm saying? Now, if I allow that feeling to stay, I wouldn't have been here this morning. How many of you know that would have been a problem? My point is, you and I do a lot of things we don't feel. Because we know ultimately we can't live by our feelings. Am I right? Have a daughter, a couple weeks, getting married. There's some feelings with that. You know, and he's a good dude and all that. It's the money side that I feel. Elope. And I'm the preacher. We're not sending you to Pastor Charlie for counseling. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying though? There's some feelings, but you can't be led by those things because they are absolutely detrimental to your faith. Do y'all believe that? I believe that with all my heart. See, here's the truth. You ready? We cannot do what we feel like doing and fulfill God's plan for our lives. You can't. You can't. You've got to do things that go beyond your feelings. Go beyond your feelings. Do y'all remember what I said about this? Remember what I said? A thought connected to an emotion will lead to a direction, right? You can't allow your thoughts and your feelings to be connected and drive you in a direction that is contrary to where God wants you to be. See, we cannot do what we feel and fulfill God's will in our life. And check this out. I ran across this last week as I was studying this out. 95% of all emotional problems are guilt-driven. 95%. That's what psychologists say. And what cracks me up, though, is psychologists deal with problems completely different than pastors and preachers in the Bible. See, in the world that we live in right now, or psychology world, 95% of all guilt problems, what they do, the world's way, is they find blame, and they assign blame to someone else. So, you know, if you're 40 years old, living in your mom's basement, playing Xbox all day, and your mom took your pacifier away last week, and you go to a psychologist, and they'll sit you down and go, okay, well, tell me what you feel. Well, you know, mama took the pacifier away last week, and I'm 40 years old, and I live in a basement, and I don't have a job, and I play Xbox and sleep all day and then play Xbox all night. You know, and the web at our house really is terrible, and I can't get fast enough internet, and it's terrible. And that's what's going on. That's the problem. You guys laugh. That is psychology 101. A find their guilt and assign a blame to it. See, because it pushes the focus, watch this, not on them, but it drives us somewhere else. Blames us somewhere. It's so bad in our culture, we got people who are victims who it didn't even happen to and they're victims. That cracks me up. It's like you ain't even related to them people and you're a victim of it. How? That can't be. Come on, am I? You guys know it. We live in a victimized culture. But what that does, listen to what that's all about. That's all about shifting blame to somebody else. Or blaming their color of their skin, where they grew up, who their parents are, all that stuff for why they are the way they are. Instead of saying, no, my feelings, my thought processes led me to here, end of story. Instead, they blame everybody else. And as long as they're blaming someone else, guess what? Come on. How many of you know they can't really deal with it and be healed? So psychology is really not helping anybody in that. And I'm not saying there aren't Christian psychologists. What I am saying is a lot of what you hear out there in the world is psychology 101. And psychology 101 is find somebody to blame for why you feel or you think the way you think or feel. But I'm going to go a little bit further. You ready for this? I believe that every one of us that functions has a little bit of dysfunction in us. And if we allow the dysfunction to rule over the function, we'll all end up in a ditch. Y'all believe that? Oh, you don't believe you got some dysfunction? Then you're real dysfunctional. You're real dysfunctional. Come on, it's the truth. I believe that. See, check this out. You say, well, Pastor Charlie, what are we supposed to do with the guilt that we feel? If 95% of all emotional problems are driven by guilt, then what are we supposed to do with guilt? I'll show you. Because there's an easy answer. You can blame or you can turn to God. Watch this. This is what the Bible says about guilt, sorrow. Same word. Now, I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, and that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. Say, Pastor Charlie, I need it a little bit plainer. Okay, let me give it to you this way. When I was about 18 years old, I was in the Air Force. And when I was in the Air Force, we were at Aberdeen Proving Grounds in Maryland. And me and about six other guys were bored. So we decided we would figure out if it is true that if you take a candy machine or a Coke machine, flip it upside down, that the Cokes will come out. I know you were wondering that. I know you were sitting here going, I wonder if we tip candy machines upside down and Coke machines, if the candy will come out. First of all, candy will, but Cokes won't. So you don't have to do what I did. So me and a bunch of buddies, we tip them upside down. We thought we were being funny and cool. They were drunk. I was sober, which is even worse. Because when you're drunk, you do stupid stuff. I did stupid stuff when I was sober. I didn't need alcohol. All right? So we do this, and we all got busted for it. And I kid you not, can I tell you, when I got busted, we all got busted together, can I tell you there were some feelings involved? And there were some emotions involved. Come on, right? Hey, here's the deal, though. I remember sitting in the day room, getting caught, and I'm a wreck. I'm like, oh, God, they're going to send me to, like, Leavenworth for this. I'm going to be locked up forever. I'm never going to eat again. I'm going to die. And I remember this. Because in the military, man, they can make you feel pretty bad when you do everything right. Okay? Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? All right? So I said this, and I did this with all my heart. I said, Lord, I'm begging that you would get me out of this, and I'm sorry for what I did. Please, God, get me out of this. Get me out of this. Please get me out of this. Now, I'd love to tell you, you know, the drill sergeant came in and said, hey, listen, you know, you were praying out here, and we thought, yeah, go ahead, go on, do your thing. It didn't happen that way. They took 1 month's base pay. They slammed us. You know, they taught us a lesson. But I did say this. I said, Lord, if you'll get me out of this, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And now I would like to tell you that the next day I started serving God and all that. No, it wasn't that way. But I do remember saying that. Why? Because see, when we have bad feelings, and we have guilt and we have these emotions, it's meant to trigger us, to tell us something is wrong. You're not doing the right thing. And it's meant to drive us to God, not drive us to blame. I didn't sit in there and go, well, you know, this. And could you imagine this in the military? Could you imagine going, well, see, what happened was they took my pacifier when I was 7 months, and then after that they did this. That drill instructor, they'll look at you like you're an idiot. Come on, am I right? It's true, man. And so at that point, you realize the gig is up and the blame is on you. You chose, you decided, you did it, you felt that way, you chose it. Now you're going to live with those consequences. And that guilt should drive you to God, not to blame others. Am I right? So don't blame others. Well, you know, my parents. Okay, so what? You're 40 years old. Some of you feel that a lot of times, so you just don't want to say it. But that's how it needs to be said, right? Absolutely. It needs to be said. Listen to this. Check this out. The Bible holds us accountable for our thoughts, our words, and our deeds because we have power to control them. If God didn't, think about it. God didn't hold you accountable, then there would be an argument to say, well, I'm not responsible for it. But since God does hold us accountable, then obviously he expects us to keep him in check, our feelings and our thoughts. Amen? Amen. How many of you ever, you have thoughts that just go crazy? You got to pull them back, right? Or you have feelings that go crazy. You got to pull them back. Come on, amen? It's your choice. Everybody say, I got a choice. Now, here's the next part. You ready? Not only is it a choice, but here's something important. It is a skill you develop. It is a skill. Michelle and I dating, I'm about 16, 17 years old. She just bought me a brand new sweatshirt. Brand new sweatshirt. I still remember this to this day. And we got into it. Part of it was she wasn't showing me affection, and I was upset and I was mad. I know nobody, no dudes can identify. But I was mad at her, and she mouthed off. She said something. And I had that sweatshirt on. She had just bought it. I grabbed that sweatshirt and I tore it. I was like Hulk Hogan, man. I was so mad. I ripped it off. I threw it on the ground and I kicked it. And I was like, I did it. I don't know if I can do it today, but I ripped it off, threw it on the ground. I was so mad. It broke her heart. I was like, forget her. Forget her, man. She'll kiss me, show me affection. Forget her. Can I tell you, that is about the most immature thing I've ever done in my life. The sweatshirt didn't do anything. And matter of fact, I really liked the sweatshirt. Can I tell you, it is a skill you have to develop to control your emotions and control how you think. It's a skill. It's something you have to address and you have to develop, right? And everybody's at a different level. But can I tell you, I've come a long way in developing that skill. I've come so far as to, I do a lot of counseling. Well, whenever I do counseling, one lady came to me one time and said, Pastor Charlie, I want you to train me on how to counsel people. I'm like, great, I'll teach you how to counsel. No problem, we'll do it. So she comes in and I told her, I met with her right before. I have a counseling appointment. I met with her right before. I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit there, and I don't care what they say. I don't care if they told you they just shot their mom. I want you to sit there and go, all right. And let me handle it, and let me feel out where we need to go with the conversation to help them. She's like, yep, no problem, not a problem. I said, you clear? We're clear. All right. So we get in there, and we're in this appointment. And this girl that we're counseling with says, I've been taking the pills out of my mom's medicine. Her mother was dying of cancer. I'm taking the pills out of the bottle and replacing it with aspirin. The other lady, are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind? What are you doing? Do you realize? And starts ranting. Do you realize you are killing your mom? I mean, what would she think? And she's like, and I'm like, Oh, now I got two nuts. I got two nuts. I started with one, I got two. What am I gonna do? Okay, so we go through the appointment, send everybody home. I meet with the other lady. I'm like, listen, you can't do that. She's like, well, what do you think? You're not meeting with me and with people no more. You just can't do that. Why? Here's the reality. The reality is, it's a skill you develop. Not allowing your emotions to take control. And that's a small example, but how many of y'all get my vibe? Absolutely. See, here's the truth. Here's the truth. You ready? Choosing a feeling or faith. You can make a choice each and every day of your life. And the choice is, am I going to move by feeling or am I going to move by faith? Right? Here's the reality. You can't move by feeling and faith. Faith and feeling are opposites. See, get this. Feelings come from what you see. Faith comes from what you don't see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things which are not seen. Not seen. You can't live by what you see and what you don't see at the same time. You're going to choose one or the other. Check it out. This is 2 Corinthians 5:7. This is the Amplified version. I'll just read a portion of it. For we walk by faith, not by sight or appearance. Listen, you can't walk by faith and appearance at the same time. You can't. Check this out. When the church started, we started the church 2002, literally with 2, 3, 4, 5 people, something like that. And when we started the church, I signed a lease that was $900 a month. Now figure it out, 2 or 3 or 4 people, $900 a month. When I signed that, I thought I had done sold my life away. I was going to have to sell my kids to auction them off or something. I didn't know how we were going to do that. But here's the deal. Faith said what you're doing is exactly what God would have you to do. That's what faith said on the inside of me. But my feelings were, oh, Charlie, you're an idiot. Or, Charlie, you're messing this up. My feelings said one thing, but my faith said another. And I had to make a choice. Am I going to live by feeling or am I going to live by faith? I chose to live by faith. First month the church started, we had plenty of money at the end of the month, paid all the bills, we were on our way. My point is, it's amazing how if you make a decision by faith, then you're going to have to know what you see can't be allowed to govern how you feel. You can't allow what you see. I remember the next week after we started the church, the attendance dropped by half. We had like 5 people. We went down to 2. It's like, well, this is not going well. Come on. And listen, and now what would I have done if I'd have let that feeling rule me? I couldn't allow that. I couldn't allow that feeling to rule me. What did I do? I got up there and I preached just as if we had 1,200 people. Preached my heart out every week since. No matter how many people show up. Why? I'm going to walk it out by faith. I'm not going to live by feel. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? You and I, we got a choice. Are we going to walk by feelings or faith? If we walk by faith, know this. If you're going to walk by faith, oftentimes it will be contrary to what you feel. Your feelings and your faith are opposites a lot of times. So a lot of times, I don't allow my fear to get up into me and get control of my life. Listen to this. Spiritual maturity is seen when you are able to control your feelings and your emotions. Spiritual maturity. If you're getting in fights at the water fountain at work, if you can't hold a job because you can't keep your mouth shut, well, I just think they ought to know. Well, they didn't ask you. Preach on, Pastor Charlie. I will. I'm just trying to help. You got to control your feelings and your emotions. You got to. Well, they just make me mad. Yeah, but he's the boss. He signs your paycheck. Well, I just think that's unfair. Well, then go out and start your own business. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? Don't play the victim. Get your faith out there too. Come on, are y'all hearing my heart? All right, listen to this, and I'm gonna stop here in just a couple hours. We grow our soul Because we become spiritually minded or God conscious. We grow our soul, our mind, will, and emotions because we become God conscious. When you become God conscious, God is a part of your thinking process. You follow me? The more God conscious you are, listen to this, the more your soul prospers. Okay, now watch. The next part is very true. We mature, though, by trusting God. We become God conscious and our soul grows because we have God conscious. But we mature because we trust God. I remember whenever I was in the military, I got out in September of 2007. Or no, that would have not been very long ago. But I got out in September of 97, September of 1997. All right? Michelle came home, though, in July of 1997. She came home in July. There was a two-month interval there that she came home before I did. She came home to find us a place to stay because if I would have got out of the military and we would have came home, we'd have been staying with the in-laws. And how many of you know in-laws are nice, but not we want to live on our own. Woo, woo. All right? So we come home, or she comes home, find us a place to stay. She's here about a month. She gives me a call. She says, hey, I found this great place, good place right there in Greentown. I want to get it, but we don't have any money. She's like, what should I do? I said, well, I don't know. Tell the landlord, hey, we'd like to have the place, but we don't have any money. I mean, you know, at that point, she probably wanted to slap me through the phone. Yeah, that's a typical woman's response. But anyway, so she's like, what do you want me to do? I said, I don't know. I literally said that. I said, listen, tell him we ain't got no money, but we like the place. She's like, I'm not telling him that. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. Well, I found myself in Florida, and I'm frustrated because I know she wants to get this place, and I don't know what to do. I can't make extra money. I'm getting ready to get out of the military. I just feel like I can't do anything. So I'm down there, and I didn't know what to do, so I go back to the dorm room that night. And anybody remember cassette tapes? I had a cassette tape of God's Property, Kurt Franklin. All right, had Kurt Franklin, God's Property. The first song on the first side is God's Property. The second song is I Know That I Can Make It. And the song goes, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. Guess what the second verse is? I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hand. Guess what the third verse is? It's about 8 minutes of that, man. And I'm telling you, and they get it going, you know, they got a choir in the background. It's awesome. It's great music. You know, there's even a place there where they speak in tongues in the middle, and I would get worshiping. I'd do that. I just was, man. And I got in my room, put some headphones on, start worshiping God. And this went on, I don't know, I'm going to guess maybe an hour, hour and a half. Same song. Over and over again, because I had one of those fancy tape decks that you could hit rewind and it goes just to that song. All right? And it would play and I'd just worship, man. Anyway, I'm in there and I'm worshiping. And I don't know, after about an hour and a half or so, I don't really know the time frame, but I several times through that song, I finally just said, you know what? God's going to take care of it. It's all good. I'm good. I'm going to bed. That was it. I was done. I just had peace, had calm. It's all good. It's all good. Laid my headphones down, went to bed. Got up the next morning. I go into the shop. Michelle calls me. She said, hey, did you put money in the account? I said, no. No, I didn't put any money in our account. She said, well, there's about $1,200 in our account. I said, time out. Let me go find out what's going on. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, well, see, here's how it used to work when I was a kid. This is the culture I grew up in. If the government giveth the government, yeah, y'all know that, even though it's not talked about much. But anyway, that's the way I grew up. All right, so I knew if I'm leaving in a month and they messed with my pay, that they're going to take that out before I leave. And then I'm going to be stuck in Florida, which isn't so bad now. But with no money, it's not good. So I go down to payroll. I go in there and I'm like, hey, listen, you know, you guys jacked up my pay. You put $1,200 in my account. I'm getting out in a month. I don't know what what's going on, but can we find out about this? So they go back there in the room, and they come back out, and they're like, no, hey, listen, here's what happened. You went TDY, you deployed out to Fort Campbell, Kentucky. You were gone a couple weeks, and you came back, and you filled out your vouchers, but we messed up on your pay, and we owed you $1,200 for your pay whenever you were gone. And I'm like, really? I'm like, that's cool. So I walked out of there, go to the shop. I'm like, Michelle, spend the money. It's ours, you know? Now, I say that whole story to show you something. What I want you to see is, I want you to see that it really made me feel less than. But by spending a little bit of time with God and allowing God to get a hold of my emotions and allow him to get a hold of my mindset and then allow him just to kind of soak in that, you know what he did? He changed my mind. He changed my emotions. So I went to bed completely in peace. And then you know what? God provided the whole time. Why do I say that? Here's my point. We mature spiritually by trusting God. See, a lot of times we allow our emotions and our mind to which truly is, honestly, a lack of trust most of the time. We're just not trusting God. We just need to trust God because we know our God is big, our God is able, and he's well able to do anything and everything. Come on, amen? Amen. I'm almost done. Listen to this. Last one. Our belief, I believe, is better than I think or feel. I believe is better than I think or feel. I know we all got I feel sometimes, and I know we all get I believe sometimes, but can I tell you the greatest statement you can ever make about yourself is I believe. I believe, therefore I think. I believe, therefore I feel. I'm going to allow God to control what I think and what I feel by I believe. I believe that my God is for me. I believe that. Doesn't matter what happens on the earth. It doesn't matter who likes me or doesn't like me. I believe God is for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? I believe is bigger than I feel or I think. I believe by his stripes I am healed. I believe that. Therefore, whether I think or I feel, no, I believe. I feel sick. Okay, you may feel sick, but if you'll grab a hold of I believe, it will eventually beat out I feel. Come on, amen? I believe God will prosper me in anything that I do. I believe that. I believe that. So even if I feel like I'm messing up, I realize that failure is a part of succeeding. And I'm not going to let failure frustrate me. I'm going to recognize it as a part of I believe in succeeding. I feel. I'm not going to let I feel get a hold of me. Because even though I may feel like I failed, I learned something in the process. Therefore, God's working it out for my good. You can take that and apply it to your life. Well, I feel that they should be nice to me. I believe you can't control everybody. And you got to take ownership of your feelings, not theirs. Come on, y'all getting what I'm saying? I believe should win out over I feel each and every day, or I think each and every day. Amen? Are you blessed? Did you get something? All right, give the Lord a clap. Praise God. I'm done.